notice the contrast between these Pharisees and Jesus. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. We say, I'll give you a rule. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. I'm gentle and lowly. And we say, I'll spell it all out for you and you'll be pleasing to everyone else. It's very hard to live by the Bible. It's so much easier to give somebody a set of rules. This is what you can do and that's what you can do. It's hard to live by the scripture, but God expects it.
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, we're continuing our study here in this series, looking at Jesus' command to come to him and find rest. Today we'll look at Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew chapter 12, this message from Dr. Colin Smith. But first, we're going to be joined by David Jenkins as we're talking about a book called The Word Explored on how we can become better students of the Bible. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. One of the things that we emphasize a good deal here on the Songtime broadcast is the importance of each individual to get into the Word of God on their own. Now, we do a great deal of teaching in the Bible here on the broadcast. We'll hear from many speakers throughout the year. Our motto is Many Voices, One Message, and we try to bring in some of the best Bible teachers to focus in on the passage that we're dealing with on this weekend. However, we know that you're listening because you want to hear the Word of God preached. You want to grow closer in your walk with Christ, but you cannot rely on other people to do that work for you. You need to be wrestling with Scripture on your own. You need to be reading it for yourself. One of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God, he says that how tragic that we in this dark day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. No one can grow spiritually for you. You have to do that work on your own. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be growing yourself by wrestling with Scripture. Well, the guest this weekend is Dave Jenkins. He's the author of a new book called The Word Explored, The Problem of Biblical Illiteracy, and What You Can Do About It. Dave, this is an issue I think that many of our listeners are aware of. We talk about biblical literacy here in the West, but we don't do much to address it. This is something that each of our listeners has to do to focus in on studying the Word of God.
One thing listeners or those who are watching this might like is read the book, and you'll probably like this as a pastor, read the book that your pastor is preaching through. You know, if that's a problem for you and you can't start somewhere, even, you know, Genesis, you just feel like I get stuck, read the book that your pastor is preaching through or listen to it. You know, there's the ESV app, Bible app, or one of those apps that you can listen to the Bible. I do that every day, and also read the Bible. So that'll help, you know, spend 5 to 10 minutes starting out, make it a little bit of a habit. And then spend 5 to 10 minutes in the Bible, and then 5 to 10 minutes in prayer, and seek to cultivate that time growing. You know, there's over 110 Bible references, and I encourage you when you're reading this book, don't read your Bible, obviously, but you know, you can read the Bible too when you're reading my book, and I want to encourage you to look up all those references, and read those and consider that, you know, too. It's so important because, you know, Paul commends the Bereans in Acts 17 to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. And the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1 were commended because they received the word of God. So, you know, in everything that we do, we want to use discernment and just be careful about, you know, am I being taught the word or am I being taught somebody's thoughts or whatever? You know, so just make sure you're, you know, reading the Bible with whatever else you're reading, and that'll serve you well.
Let's talk about where we get started in this. Obviously, you know, the preaching of the word on a Sunday morning, that is the kind of the pinnacle of the week, and the rest of the week kind of falls down from there. And we need to get back together to get the washing, the renewing of the word. And we need to get cleansed again by that preaching of the word. But for someone who's starting there, how can they make the most, as you just kind of mentioned, you know, reading those passages throughout the week? Where do you get the most out of a Sunday morning preaching to make it so that context builds in that continuity of Scripture?
Well, there's a number of approaches that we can take, whether that's listening, just listening, sitting there listening. Some people really do well at that. That's my style of learning. But some people, you know, find it really helpful to take notes. You know, most often a lot of churches provide an outline. So fill out that outline or bring a piece of paper and write out the notes if that helps you. After the sermon, it helps a lot of people to have a sermon review. So maybe you talk about the sermon with your spouse or with some friends and share what you got out of it or things that you thought could be better or whatever, you know, just don't tell your pastor about those things. You know, we don't want to discourage the pastor or whoever is speaking, you know, but yeah, those are some things I think that can help, you know, small groups as well. A lot of them do sermon review. And so they might have some questions for people in the small group and just what you got out of the message or what stood out to you. What are some application points for you? And just gather around the word there. And
I think it's interesting, you know, as a pastor myself, I get a little bit of feedback from my preaching, but I'm always questioning what they're retaining in from the sermon and what they're actually studying it on their own, what they're picking up, and if there's a connection. I try very hard in my preaching to make sure that it connects well with the scriptures in such a way that a second and third reading of that scriptures will bring those points to life and to the surface. But what you're suggesting is, if you're working on it, you're talking about it in a group, that's going to help you a great deal in the retaining of that throughout the week so that it builds on itself. You're taking advantage of something you're already doing, going to church on a Sunday, and you're building on that in a way that's a multiplier, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the people are thinking about that because they have to, you know, contribute some thoughts towards that. And I think that helps to connect, you know, Sunday to Monday through Saturday.
We've been talking with Dave Jenkins about his book called The Word Explored, The Problem of Biblical Illiteracy and What to Do About It. You can find out more information about his book by giving us a call, 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, speaking about getting into the Word of God today, we're going to be delving into Matthew chapter 12. As our theme verse for this whole series, this six-part series, is Matthew 11:28. Come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In this text, we have the invitation of Jesus to come to him, to learn from him, and to learn of the importance of rest. Well, today we're going to get into chapter 12, which teaches us of Jesus' claim to be the Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath meaning rest. And here he confronts the Pharisees, who, like many of us, once we get into the closeness with Christ, we start to compare ourselves with everyone around us, just like the disciples used to do. You know, who was the greatest among us? We start to measure our good deeds against those around us, and we feel we come out on top. Well, in this story, we're going to see how the Pharisees added to the scriptures and how Jesus confronts them by encouraging them to understand the Word of God, that God desires mercy rather than sacrifice. A great study from my late great college mentor, Dr. Colin Smith, here in Matthew chapter 12.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, the day of rest, right? What I want to point out to you is that what happens in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, is purposefully being contrasted with what Jesus said about himself. Jesus says, I don't put burdens on people. I give people rest. Now we find out what the Pharisees do and how they are different. At that time, Jesus went to the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. The Pharisees saw it, and they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what's not lawful. We made a rule and you're not following the rules. Notice the contrast between these Pharisees and Jesus. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. We say, I'll give you a rule. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. I'm gentle and lowly. And we say, I'll spell it all out for you and you'll be pleasing to everyone else. It's very hard to live by the Bible. It's so much easier to give somebody a set of rules. This is what you can do and that's what you can do. It's hard to live by the scripture.
But God expects it. Notice what Jesus says. Have you not read? Jesus responded with the Bible because that was the standard by which he gauged his life. The Bible doesn't say that as an individual you have a right to live any way you want to live, and that any person who comes up to you and says that you're wrong, you get a big chip on your shoulder and say, nobody tells me what to do. We all have a rule we live by. It's called the Bible. Jesus lived according to the Scriptures. Jesus said, haven't you read what the Bible says? The Pharisees made every one of their rules because they love God and they love the Bible. And you know what they said? We want to be careful that we don't break any of the rules in the Bible. How can I be sure that I don't break any rules in the Bible? Well, I make another set of rules that are even more strict than the Bible. And so if I don't break those rules, I know I won't be breaking the Bible rules. Jesus said, I'll give you rest from that kind of thing. Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, you put a burden on men that nobody can bear. I'll give you rest from that. You follow me. Why can't we have a simple faith in Jesus Christ? And again, he answers them with Scripture. I'm not advocating running around and making up your own rules for life. You're a creature. God made you. And if you don't want to follow his rules as a born-again believer, he'll find a way to bring you to heal as a creature. You may break Bible rules because you don't want to be a born-again believer, but you'll have to follow his rules as a creature. You'll find it out in your body. You'll find it out in your life. You'll find it out in the things that don't work out. There's a long way or there's the easy way, but you'll find out God's in control. But we live by the Scripture, and Jesus answers by the Scripture. That's the principle. So he turns and he says, haven't you read what it says in the Scripture? How David, when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful. It wasn't according to your rules for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. The Sabbath day was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made to be a time of rest and ease. It wasn't made to be a time to throw burdens on people. It's fascinating how we can turn things around and we worship the rules and we don't understand the principles for which they were made. And it's kind of interesting. David does this, by the way, in sin. David sneaks away from Saul. His wife lets him out the window. Okay. David sneaks away. So he goes into the where the Ark of the Covenant was. It wasn't the temple in the sense of the stone building. And he goes in and he says, do you have any food here? And the priest says, all I've got is the showbread that's intended for the priest. David said, okay, fine with me. I'll take that. So David is not some spiritual giant who has gone to the temple to further the work of God, and therefore, because he's on such a higher and a greater mission, that he deserves to get the showbread. David's acting stupidly and foolishly, and he's unprepared, but he's hungry. So give him the food. That's the kind of God we've got. We're the kind of person who would say, well, if you fill out this list, and if the need is there, and show me that you're spiritual, and you fit all the other rules, maybe I'll bend this rule for you. Doesn't fit. David was on a tear of foolishness, and yet he served a God that blesses and takes care of us even when we act stupid. That's the kind of God we got. The kind of God who doesn't say, I got the rules over here. We've got the kind of God who loves us and cares for us. And Jesus' disciples weren't breaking any of God's laws. They were breaking up a bunch of rules that a bunch of Pharisees got together and decided that they wanted to create to make life better. Don't we understand? Men have rules to fit their circumstances, but don't you dare attach any spirituality to them. And don't you dare think to impose them on other people. He says, you have condemned the guiltless. I don't know how it is that we dare to use guilt as a motivation to get people to serve God. God uses freedom. God doesn't motivate you to serve him by making you feel bad. He motivates you to serve him by saying, I'll set you free from guilt. I've paid for your sin. I love you. I'll take care of you. You'll sin tomorrow, and I'll take care of that too. That's God's motivation. Whose rules can you live by? I'll tell you, I make rules for myself, and I can't even live by my own rules.
We have a God who what? Desires mercy. No, I don't mean that we live in a society where there are no rules. We just understand the difference between rules and godliness. Rules are the very crumbs of godliness. Rules are the ragged ends that trail along the ground in the robe of godliness. What we want is a Savior who says, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. You know what sacrifice was? It was a rule. It was a law. And God says, that's not really what I want. What I want is mercy. I want you to be faithful and true to my word. If we would live that way, we'd find more people saying, they are kind of more like Christ than I thought. That's the commitment that we make, because we've got a forgiving and loving Savior. We don't have this set of externals. It's supposed to be inside. God is a spirit, and he is seeking men to worship him in spirit and in truth.
This passage here in Matthew, the story of Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath, is probably one of my favorite passages in the Gospel of Matthew. It connects with other passages of Scripture so well. It really does become this great study that takes us back into the Old Testament as well as into the Psalms. You know, if you really want to go deeper in this, we've been talking about biblical illiteracy earlier in the broadcast with Dave Jenkins, become familiar with Scripture. Read 1 Samuel 21. And here's a little bit of a challenge for you. As you read the story about David running from Saul, taking the showbread, he goes into the tabernacle and takes Goliath's sword and runs to Gath. That's where Goliath was from, and plays a fool. It is comedy gold as you see David acting as a complete fool. Here's a little tip. Read this passage, 1 Samuel 21. Read that while looking up the YouTube video, Yakety Sax. Watch that with it. And you'll have that kind of comedy music going on in the background. It just adds a little layer to this crazy scenario that we find David in. And then go over and read Psalm 34, this amazing response. I was talking with somebody recently about David and all of the mistakes he made. You know what makes David so unique? Is that every single time that David screws up, he goes and writes a psalm about it. You can read it. I mean, we all know when David sinned with Bathsheba and he murdered Uriah and all of those things involved, he sat down and wrote Psalm 51. Well, after this crazy scenario in 1 Samuel 21, all this foolishness that David had pulled off, he goes and writes Psalm 34. And that's the psalm that gives us these words, "Taste and see, the Lord is good." Do you understand what David is saying there? What is good about God? That God is great? I mean, he's holy, he's righteous, No, what David is connecting with is that God is merciful. You can come to him as a fool, and he will embrace you, he will love you, and he will forgive you. That is the beauty of this whole passage here in Matthew chapter 12, as we see Jesus describing to the Pharisees the foolishness of thinking that they could achieve their own righteousness by pointing to David, the hero from the Old Testament, who was a fool, but a fool for grace, a great testimony of the gospel. You want to do something great? A few weekends ago, we talked about what you can do to be great in the kingdom of God, as Jesus addressed John the Baptist, and what makes us greater by pointing to Jesus. One of the greatest ways that you can point to Jesus Christ is when you sin, you confess your sins, and you acknowledge that he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Something to think about today. A great passage, a great study. Read it on your own and you will be blessed. If we've encouraged you, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. Head over to our website at songtime.com or look us up on social media. And on behalf of our late, great Dr. John DeBrine, whose memorial service is coming up next weekend, you can find out more information on our website. He always has encouraged our listeners to say, "The grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace." From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."